We'll drop a few buckets of nails on their road.
Harris and the weapons crews had already discussed the fusing and arming options. They hadn't nearly the number of mines she really needed, but the more of the enemy, the greater the chance of a hit. She presumed the enemy would see them drop the clusters, and that would provoke some kind of maneuver.
And immediate course change, getting us the vector for jumps 2, 3, and 5.
The trailing pair of enemy ships, cruiser and killer escort, worried her. Why were they hanging back? If the rest of the Benignity formation reacted normally, flaring away from the mines, how would that final pair react? Too much to hope they were back there because they were scan blind or something, and would just sweep on majestically into the mine cluster. That thought, however unlikely, brought a grin to her face. She had not anticipated how happy she would be, back on the bridge of an RSS cruiser. It was ridiculous under the circumstances. She had come back only to find herself in a worse tactical mess than any she'd experienced. She had less chance of surviving, let alone winning, this engagement, than she had had with the Board of Inquiry. But that didn't sober her. This was where she belonged, and she felt fully alive, fully awake, for the first time since she'd left. Not that she regretted the experience of the past years, but this was home. And vigilance answered her joy with its own. Every hour she could sense the lift in crew morale. They believed in her. They accepted her. From their reactions alone, she learned things about Garavay that erased the last doubts she'd had. A man might be a traitor to the Familius, and a good leader for his own people, but Garavay had been a user, someone who abused power. If they'd had time to prepare, even 10 or 15 days, she'd have had a reasonable chance, she was sure. Now, she didn't even bother to calculate it. Either luck would be with them, or it wouldn't. She intended to give luck all the help she could. While she wouldn't mind dying in action, it wasn't fair to the people of Xavier. Space combat had a leisurely, surreal phase in which nothing seemed to happen. Weapons had been launched, to find targets or not, minutes to hours hence. And the enemy's weapons were on their way, with Scan trying desperately to find and track them before maneuvering. No one used line-of-sight weapons at this distance, despite their light-speed advantage. What the best scans saw was far behind the enemy's location.
They're starring, avoiding our mines.
That was the usual Benignity move. She'd expected it.
Jump 2.
Harris had laid out a series of micro-jumps, options ready to take depending on the enemy's reaction to the mines. This had been the most likely, the starburst dispersal. If she had kept on course, she'd have gone down the throat of the bell they made. Easy meat.
Targeting.
On target.
Engage.
Instead, the course change and micro jump popped them out in position to fire their forward LOS weapons at the flank of the massive assault carrier they'd chosen as it clawed its way into a shallow curve away from its former course. 4 light seconds away, an easy solution for the computers.
Turn that down.
Harris had never quite believed the theory that said humans needed to hear the fights they got into. Ground combat had been so noisy it drove men insane. So why had psychologists insisted on programming fake noises for combat in space?
Keep it below 10.
It couldn't be turned off completely, but it didn't have to rupture eardrums.
Sir.
Jump 6, then 8.
On their new vector, a micro jump put them safely away from the probable response of the Benignity's cruisers. If she guessed right. Another immediate micro-jump following that brought them out at an angle to another part of the starburst. Another quick targeting solution, another burst with LOS, then back into jump space. This time long enough to open a 20-minute gap, while Kutsudis and the other scan techs re-ran the scans of the targeting runs. The first run confirmed the starburst and the mass classes of the vessels involved. 7 of them, 3 heavy cruisers carrying half again Vigilance's weaponry, 2 assault carriers massing 3 times the cruisers, and 2 killer escorts. 1 cruiser and 1 killer escort lagging well behind. The second run scans confirmed a hit on the assault carrier, partly buffered by its screens. Harris scowled at the scan data.
They do have good screen technology.
They had hit with both of the cruisers' forward LOS, but one ablated against the screens. The second had penetrated, but hadn't breached the ship. The screens appeared to be weakened, perhaps down, and the infrared showed substantial heat, but no atmosphere. The enemy starburst had modified after the attack, with one side of the starburst rolling over, but slowly, with those massive ships, to regroup along the axis of the original attack. Also quite visible on the second scan was the trace of weapons that had narrowly missed Vigilance when she jumped after the attack.
Damn good shooting. From one of their cruisers. Their command cruiser, probably. We weren't on scan a total of 8 seconds and they nearly got us. It would have been glancing and the shields would have held, but whoever it is over there is sharp.
How long did it take us to get our shots off?
6 seconds.
Long. On her old ship, they had drilled until they could pop out of a micro jump and fire within 4. No wonder they were almost fried.
We'll do better.
She couldn't move her old crew into every critical position. She hadn't enough of them. And besides, she needed to get this crew working. In a long fight, and she had to hope this would be a long fight, shift after shift would have to fight with peak efficiency. From 20 light minutes away, she could not follow the Paradox's attack in real time, even though Kutsudas bought her a little advantage with his boosted scans. Tinzi, having the advantage of the post-scans of her own attack, had chosen to have another run at the possibly wounded assault carrier. But he took 10 seconds to come out of jump space, locate his target, and shoot. The assault cruiser's shields failed, but he himself was under attack, and he scorched the Benignity ship without breaching it. He jumped just in time, and Harris wondered if he would follow up his attack or simply micro-jump his way to a safe jump point. She had not been sure he would attack at all. He had reported having 2 serious fights aboard after taking command. Although he had seemed slow, even stupid, when she first talked to him, clearly he had plenty of command ability. His ship not only obeyed orders, but had survived a live engagement. In any case, it was time for Vigilance to re-enter the fray. Another pair of micro-jumps brought them in behind the laggards. This time, Harris chose ballistic weapons, half of them heat-targeting, and the other half fitted with the kill-me-target-you guidance systems that converted scrambling countermeasures into secondary guidance. Vigilance launched all its weapons within 6 seconds and was safely back into micro-jump without being touched.
There's Paradox.
The patrol ship had come across the bottom of the CH formation, this time firing within 3 seconds of their jump exit. CH response didn't come close.
Of course, they'll start micro-jumping soon. They're going to be highly peeved with us.
Harris glanced at the clocks.
Take us over to Blue Eyes now.
Blue Eyes was the second largest gas giant in the system, with its own set of rings and satellites to hide in. It was a considerable distance away, but if she could lure them into pursuing her over there, all the better for Xavier. The jump lasted just long enough for Kutsudas to switch the beacon ID. The ship that went into jump at point A was not apparently the same one that emerged from jump at B. Redlining the in-system drive to get a tight swing around the gas giant, and then out on a new vector, a longish run on in-system drive to let the enemy get a good look at them while their own scans scooped data. The CH ships had regrouped, snugging in again and boosting toward Xavier itself, all but the laggards, which had vanished, leaving behind roiled traces that indicated either badly tuned microjumps or explosions.
A lot of infrared. Lots and lots of infrared. An interesting spectra. Not quite what I'd expect if they'd blew, but definitely not normal jump insertion.
The scans looked messier, cluttered with the probable courses of ballistic weapons that had not hit their targets and the extended lines of LOS weapons. As dangerous as enemy fire in an extended battle were the hundreds of armed missiles heading off in all directions. Long micro-jumps even offered the possibility for inept commanders to shoot themselves down with their own LOS beams.
If they've got a new way of foxing our scans, that might explain why they were hanging back.
Janice watched the main clump continue steadily toward Xavier.
Damn it, you'd think they'd have the guts to chase us.
Too smart. They know we're outgunned. Well, no one said this would be easy. Is that another one lagging?
They've slowed. Gives them more maneuverability.
And more options for micro-jumps. Wait. I see only 4 now.
Their killer ship is missing. No, there it is. Sneaking over to... Oh, shit.
Over to the yacht's hiding place. And it would be coming in on their blind side. Its commander probably didn't know the yacht was there, Harris thought. He hoped to conceal his ship in the rings, to catch them on the flank. But instead of ambushing a fox, he was going to scare a rabbit out of the brush. It was already too late to help. Their scan data's lag meant that whatever was going to happen, had. Harris said nothing, waiting for the disaster she expected. When the flare came, it wasn't the yacht.
They laid their own mines.
Pharaoh thought of that.
Kill!
That size flare had to be a kill, and the Spectra matched the reference patterns.
Detonated their onboard stuff. I hope the yacht wasn't too close.
Harris felt a little jolt of satisfaction. She had picked the right junior officer to captain the yacht after all. And whatever effect Lady Cecilia had had on him, he'd managed to kill a bigger, more powerful ship. And the enemy's advantage was eroding. From 7 ships, any of them a match for hers, the Benignity commander was down to 4, one with severely damaged shields, assuming the 2 that had vanished weren't hiding cleverly somewhere. Instinct told her no, that they had either been destroyed or had fled, damaged, into FTL. Not smart. Ships that entered FTL with major damage rarely emerged on the other end. If only she'd been able to lay a proper array of mines around Xavier, she'd have a chance to win outright, with all her own ships intact. Still, they'd done better than she'd expected. In the long hours that remained of the inward traverse, they would have several more chances for the quick, darting attacks that gave her ships the best chance, especially since the CH formation no longer had killer ships to duel with them.
We can't let them alone long enough to repair their shields. I want to change shifts now. I know it's 2 standard hours early, but we need the freshest reflexes we have.
She herself had been up and running too long. She didn't even want to think how long it had been since she assembled the small group that had taken over the Vigilance.
I'm taking 4 hours myself. You have your orders, Svatek.